Blog Talk Radio. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Consciousness Shift. My name is Nicole Tomasini. I'm here in New York City, and I am joined by my lovely co-host, Gwen Barry, who is down in South Florida.
Hi.
Hi, Gwen. How's your weather going? We all know what my weather's about. What's yours like?
Well, it's been blanket weather down here. We actually dipped into the low 40s two nights ago. Ooh. Which is a wet cold, and it's like, oh no, you're kidding me.
Yeah,
but it's a beautiful day out there now, and the days have been just perfect Florida weather. You know, it's been in the 70s to mid 70s with a breeze and no humidity, and it's like, oh, okay, this is why we live here.
Well, that's wonderful, because we have been blanketed with rain and more rain. And while looking for pictures to put up talking about the age of Aquarius, everything was some large deity pouring water on the world. So,
well, like, something's got to be done. And, you know, every time it rains or there's a lot of snow or anything like that anymore, I think, this is our new abundance, and we better start recognizing it. When rain falls from the sky, it should be cherished.
Yeah, absolutely. And that there's always enough. It's a never-ending vessel that constantly flows from the divine to us. So that's what we're talking about today, the shift from the age of Pisces into the age of Aquarius. You know, I have to be honest. Of course, we've all heard the Age of Aquarius thanks to the musical. I don't know if I ever saw Hair, but...
I saw it live. I saw the movie. I was very, very young.
So maybe you can fill in some of the blanks that I have. You sent me this Hand Cloud 2012 report on what's going on with the shift from the age of Pisces into the age of Aquarius. And what I got from it is that the age of Pisces, what, started 2,000 years ago, and now we're making the transition into it? Is that correct?
Well, yeah, basically we travel through the constellations in our orbit, and that's why we go through different ages. Each age is significant under the influences of a specific constellation. We are coming out of the constellation of, we are precessing. The equinoxes have precessed us out of the age. Right now, it's happening out of the age of Pisces, which is very patriarchal and monotheistic, into an industrious, into the age of Aquarius, which is an age of enlightenment and revolution and planetary consciousness. We have to go through these big, vast yin and yangs to come to, you know, our evolution status. The other part about it is that, yes, Pisces was approximately 2,400 years long. It goes from 2,200 to 2,600 years that we go through an age or an eon. And the Piscean age, which is passing, and the Aquarian age that we're coming into is not just moving into a new age or aeon. It is a complete orbiting of the solar system and galaxy, you know, has our orbital status as a solar system within our galaxy has now traveled through all 12 houses, 26,000 years of cycling through all the constellations, and the age of Aquarius by new age means it's a beginning again. So it's an evolutionary point for not just planet Earth, but much of our galactic neighbors too.
Wow, well said, and really explains. So we're in an evolution within an evolution, right? We've got this 2,400 years and then this 26,000 year, and we're all coming to it at the same time, which is now.
Right. And when people talked in the past few years about time speeding up, what they're talking about is really, well, time is speeding up, but not at, you know, breakneck speeds. We're talking about seconds per year, but that adds up.
Mm-hmm.
What is happening that is so breakneck speed is, if you look at the evolution of just planet Earth and the species on it, including humans, Homo sapiens, sapiens, we became Homo, if you look at it, in terms of a scale, you know, a graph that shows you the last since the beginning of the planet, you know, how many hundred million years it's taken to evolve this planet in this solar system, the species of life came about halfway through that evolution. And then we had all of these different, you know, the Neolithic age and the age of advancement and the evolution of the species Homo sapiens, which come from, and this is science, okay, came along about halfway through, and then they, when you're marking time at the beginning and coming to the present, halfway through, and then for three quarters of the way or more, actually more, about 80% of the rest of the half of that time, we spent learning the physics of our life on this planet, learning about the elements and gradually developing our intelligence and our ability to form communication and community. And then about the last, you know, not even 20%, but 10% have we been Homo sapiens sapiens, which means, you know, the kind of walking, talking, carry a large stick or become agriculturalists or from out of the caves, okay, has been just a little pinch of time that we have evolved with our intelligence and our capability. And then, of course, it's not even 200 years since we developed industrialization. Technology is less than, as we use it and have worked with it, is less than 30 years old. Time is speeding up. You follow where I'm going. There's an avalanche of evolution going on. And we're running at breakneck speed into this new age. And it's shattering a lot of, we're coming to those, how do I put this? Can anyone who is paying attention to even just the, you know, mainstream media not know how tumultuous this world is in right now, the stasis of it? There's war spread across, there's violence spread across the whole planet except for a few pockets of peace, and they're very few and they're very small. It's a time of the word I'm searching for is that breakthrough point where we finally get it, because we just get whipped down to submission. It's like we're in the throes of the last stones, the last grandfathers are being put in the sweat lodge in Inipi, and we're having to sweat it out, you see. And we're either going to fight it or we're going to allow enlightenment to come in, and we're going to understand and evolve. Does that make any sense, the way I said that?
Yeah, and we can apply that to our own lives if we feel like things aren't moving fast enough, or that, you know, what's going on, we have all these different things happening, that it, first of all, like we've talked about a lot recently, that change is a constant and always changes, and to embrace that change in our own life. And it's becoming more and more apparent to me that where our focus is and where our thoughts are and our emotions are exactly what happens. And to drop this idea that, you know, oh, people are never going to get along, or it's always going to be this government or this oppressor or whatever, to stop thinking that way. Because, yes, it's been that way for a long time, but as we've said, this is the time for the change and the shift. And the sooner that we can all individually realize, okay, they're playing this game, they're doing this thing, we understand at least generally how we lost our light and went into the dark, and now it's time for us to come out of it. And either you come with us or you don't, and you live in your own world of darkness, you know? So,
well, no one's going to remain in the dark, simply because we're connected. We're connected by this tool we use right now. We're connected by television. Even people who live in abject poverty in the slums of India have internet. In fact, there's an argument going on in my little village here of Lake Worth about whether or not we should be supplying internet access outside the library for homeless people to access it. Wow. I think we should.
Yeah, why not?
Well, you know,
they got reasons.
My mother used to have a saying. She would say the masses are illiterate, and perhaps that was a seed planted in me to make sure the masses didn't remain that way.
Yes.
I have no idea, really. But you can quintessentially, you can talk about what's going on by saying, Barbara Clough, in her wonderful, she just published this piece, Free Will or the Whirlwind. She said, we are becoming conscious of the unconscious. And I'll tell you what quintessentially I think that means. The unknown is becoming known. And I'll point something out in the mundane world to you right now that people are sort of reeling over. And that is the CIA report on torture. People are reading that with their jaws dropping. You know, this abjectly just puts it out there on the table and says that the last two administrations are war criminals. You follow what I mean?
Yep. That was a leaked paper, or the CIA put it out?
They had to publish it, but it's been redacted quite a bit. Still, there's a lot of leakage, and you can put two and two together, and plenty of people are out there. And slowly but surely, certain independent medias are getting more and more attention from the masses. I would point out Link Television and Truth TV, which are on certain cable networks, and people are starting to watch the Democracy Now! Program with Amy Goodman. We're talking about getting news that isn't put together with a specific agenda like the major networks on television. Now, cable networks can be guilty of it, but they're also That's where you'll find some of the most eye-opening and illuminated documentaries and stuff, like HBO, Showtime, FX Network. Here's the other thing too: art precesses any kind of revolution. We really are talking about revolution. Uranus, the planet of the house of Aquarius, is all about revolution, and that's what's going on. The unknown becoming known is the trigger for the revolution. And the revolution does not have to mean something violent or life-endangering. It can be awakening, a massive awakening of people that just say, I'm not going to play the game anymore. And it's, on one hand, highly destructive of the old system, this patriarchy that has been going on. And it's, on the other hand, a huge challenge for humanity as a species to survive it.
Yeah.
And we, from our perspective in our community, the way to survive it is to rise above it, to tap into the unknown, and to help people. There are a few things that that we can do. And Clow really laid it out when she said, I fence with her on some of her conclusions, but I have to say that what's going to happen on this sixth and final Uranus-Pluto square, which is right in the middle of my solar chart. It's a part of my Saturn return.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hello, front and center.
Hello, yes, I do. Bar car, follow me. it's a reminder how what we are thinking and what our intentions are and how we give in to our fears can manifest so quickly, because the deepest healing is coming from the underworld. It's coming from Pluto, and that's death and rebirth. Mm-hmm. The transformation of the Piscean patriarchal power structures are the focus right now. Patriarchy is thought to do nothing but enslave humanity from religion to business to community corralling, you know? Mm. And I am not here saying that the opposite would be better. I'm not saying matriarchy is the answer either. I would say that the goddess needs to be grounded on this planet, as I always have, you know, worked to do. But it's not about matriarchy or patriarchy. It's about equality and the co-union of yin-yang, of masculine-feminine, walking hand-in-hand to create a better world.
Within us and around us, you know, that's no matter what your sex is, coming into a communication with both sides of yourself, that was one of the best balancing exercises that continues to evolve, is the understanding of both sides of you, the giver, the receiver, the decision maker, the action taker, all those different sides of ourself, and the relationship between the two of them. What does it mean? Which is my male, which is my female side? It starts to come together, and they work.
Yeah.
Work in harmony. What were you saying?
The inner shield, all those different characters within us, all those different portions of us. The questions are how can we inspire a progressive evolution of humanity? How do we express compassion without anger for the origins of that compassion? How do we support healing or revolt from the Piscean oppressors? And the very personal thing for every one of us is, how do we remain idealistic, true to a planetary spiritual awakening? Because, I mean, I am an activist politically as well as an activist spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself moving away more and more from the bickering and arguments about what is better for humanity right now, whether it's socialism or it's, you know, anarchy or it's, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Going with this. I am beginning to understand that I am more effective as an activist the more I stand in my integrity as a spiritual human being, the more that I have empathy and transcendence. The more, and none of us can do it all the time. It's, you know, that's not the way we're made right now. It is our challenge and the opportunity for, well, becoming conscious of the unconscious.
And that's exactly what Barbara Hand Clow is saying. The good news from astrology is that after all the mind-boggling events since the April Grand Square we had this year, the coming Uranus-Pluto square on December 15th heralds the arrival of positive Neptunian ideals, personal transcendence over the collective pain. So that's exactly, you know, standing, seeing things more from the divine perspective and seeing, not getting bogged down into all the emotions of the pain, but seeing that this is a necessary evolution and revolution and keeping the light standard so that it can be as painless as possible, even though that means a lot of people are going to have quite the transition. You know what I mean?
Well, she says it really well here, and I'm going to quote her.
Oh, good.
Sure. A heartbreaking collective psychosis has taken over the world because the Semitic religions have too long harvested the deep human desire for ecstasy and divine inspiration. Think about that. It makes sense. The dawning Aquarian age calls for human liberation and exposes the unforgivable cruelty and murderousness in the patriarchal religions of the age of Pisces. I mean, take a look at what the Pope is saying lately, and it makes you wonder. This struggle is not about who or what is right or wrong, because there is no morality in a mass psychosis. You know, knives and drones that are being used to kill in the name of God assault the heart-centered nature of humanity. And while we're being numbed and dumbed down by all of this, the stars and the planets are working to push with a magnetic influence on the psyche and on our bodies and our minds and our spirits to make the change, make the transition, and stay in our integrity is the challenge.
Not think you're losing your mind, right? Like, because you can, in any direction, it's all sort of new. Even if you're trying to stay the same, it's changing. So that's going to be a struggle and not really a fruitful struggle. But even aligning with all these things, I mean, we've been talking about this for a while now, and you have these great moments, days, weeks, where you're fully in alignment. And then sometimes, at least I find with myself, sometimes I answer the call of doubt. Well, what if none of this? Well, what if none of this? And I think having that conversation with the doubt in your head, because now there's so much evidence and there's so much personal understanding and information for us to be able to have a debate with that doubt and in a sense win. Go, no, dude. And even if it is, it's not going to be what you're saying. Like, it's, you know what I mean? I think for individuals looking at this transition of the age of Pisces into the age of Aquarius. It really has to do with how well you can stand firm in your courage to align with what's coming for you, what's already all around you, so that we can get there a little quicker. That's what I think.
Well, in all of these incredible squares and oppositions are aligned right to the heart of our galaxy. It's right there at galactic center and pushing us, and it has been for the last 8 years. This one is basically another huge push. And if you notice, if you go back and you read all of these different oppositions that have been happening, and remembering that there's been these incredible lunar solar eclipses to push the energy into the planets here in this solar system, and most especially Earth because of the moon, then you realize that we're being asked by the heavens to pay attention and to, you know, make the change, get up off our asses and make the change. As I said before, a lot of people are they bicker about, you know, we all do, what's the best way, what's the right way, how do we save, what's good, especially in leadership roles. I don't see it. There's so little true leadership on this planet right now.
It does.
It's integrity that is in power. Mm-hmm. That it's, you know, there's a crucible and they're all in it. I don't think that any of the, and I've said this over and over again, I don't think any of the ologies, isms, or we need a brand new vision. I'm sorry. Jeff. We need a brand new vision is what we need.
And it's us, the power to the people. I think that's the most interesting. I think Occupy Wall Street and all these revolutions that are happening all over the world, I think that's where, you know, that.
Yeah, community consensus. And no one understands it, you know? Mm-hmm. Where I see that hierarchy is something that the human community, it benefits us because it's necessary. Without some sort of hierarchy, without leadership, there's chaos. And yet there can be community consensus too. You know, this is why Game of Thrones and all of these sagas that we watch about the heroes right now are so important. They're reminding us that we don't have to take it. You know, we can get up off our asses. We don't have to pick up a blade. We just have to open our voice and be a part of the community and say enough.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, the one who uses their voice is infinitely more dangerous to the oligarchies and patriarchy that are in power now. It's the voice, you know, the pen is mightier than the sword, and that's always been true.
Mm-hmm. And how Abraham says a lot, one person in the vortex is more powerful than millions who are not, you know, so...
Yeah, you know, we are the pebble in the pond. Everyone is. Who has the greater influence? Well, you know, if you observe people and you have some knowledge of history, you understand that it takes a great deal for someone to say the right thing, the integritous thing, the good thing, and be heard, because the easy way is always quicker to hear and understand. But right now, the easy way is on trial with humanity. Mm-hmm. Humanity is being offered the opportunity to make a change away from the greed, the environmental destruction, the, you know, we are being told, you know, look, shit or get off the pot. you can't have it both ways. You can't drive that car and be healthy.
Yeah, and the easy fix. I mean, I think it's important to bring these things to the planetary things down to earthly things. And I was having a conversation with my friend Diane about our bodies and weight and how we feel about it. And I've been working on the weight thing since I was a teenager. I mean, I've never been a small person. So, and one thing that I've noticed is, you know, you can do the quick fix. I've seen so many people, and I've done it myself, where you go on this drastic, you know, cut out all the booze, eat, start juicing, go to the gym constantly, and sure, in 4 months, you can see some serious results, but are you still doing that in a year? Are you still doing that in 3 years? Does it have anything to do with your daily life and not doing healthy things, but also not feeling deprived? Like, where is your head at? So I noticed that that was one of the biggest things that was standing in my way, is that what I was thinking and what I was feeling was totally out of alignment with what I was wanting. And now the road that I'm on, which I'm really enjoying, I mean, I'd say the middle of month two, and slow physical results, but the momentum is really starting. It took a good month to really see, okay, something is definitely happening here. And so, and I'm not depriving myself. I'm working with anything that I want, listening to myself, eating, understanding why I'm eating, and moving my body for the enjoyment of moving my body, not because I want to lose 10 pounds or 20 pounds, because that didn't make me feel good. So I think putting this on a global scale, it's got to be step by step. Yes, we're moving forward, but we still need this grounding and this centering, and to be okay with slower results than we may want, but to know that when you start with something that is a good foundation and really makes you happy at the core of your being, step by step, every day, staying with that, the momentum goes and goes, and you will get there quicker. You will get there.
I agree with you. That works. And it takes a lot of integrity to stick with it, too, to completely change your lifestyle and how you think about life and what makes you feel good and happy. Feeling physically good should be a great big indicator. Mm-hmm. But I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that for the last 20 years, some of the most popular new myth stories, whether it's movies or books, or why do you think it all has to do with the transformation of just the whole planetary system, or takes it out of this and puts it in a new planetary system, or it's about apocalypse zombified or apocalypse because there's no more gas? I'm thinking Mad Max there, you know. Why do you think these have all been so very popular?
Because the purpose is to derail us and have us still thinking in a survival mode. That's the idea of The Walking Dead. Yes, it's very exciting to watch because it's people on the brink of survival or not, and are the good people going to win? And meanwhile, you've got these brainless zombie things coming at you that just want to kill you. And I've had discussions.
Do you think it's a good metaphor for the moment?
It's all right.
Well, you know, the zombified, you know, and the disease being within all of us, the zombification of humanity, it exemplifies really, in my personal opinion, mm-hmm. exactly what's going on with the masses right now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize how many idiots got elected to Congress?
Yeah, sure. But they're also, well, I guess it depends on where you live. I was going to say, you know, those senators aren't really coming for, but I guess they are. Yeah, I guess you're right. I think it's a good analogy, but it still keeps us in a survival-based consciousness. And so things that are a little more on a higher, you know, if you're going to watch a million zombie movies, you're staying in that mentality that zombies and brainless people are coming to get us.
For sure, for sure. But the idea of staying in the survival, well, what else are we in right now?
Yes, it's survival, but it's not necessarily, it doesn't have to be just, you know, shelter, food, and water. That's why I think,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
all these discussions of, you know, which ism is going to do it or which one, it doesn't really matter. We'll see which one is the right one, and it's probably none of them on their own.
Right.
It's a world of inclusion. So it can't, we didn't come here to just try to get X amount of food and X amount of shelter. I mean, we already did that dance 60,000 years ago or even 2,000 years ago with plagues and no refrigeration. Like you said, we didn't have the technology, so it was more about survival. Okay, fine. But now, why? It's ridiculous that we're even still having this conversation, that people are still worried about survival around the planet, you know? I mean, it's like, okay, come on. We have plenty of resources. We have plenty of technology. It's just about getting it flowing in the right direction. So it's, but again, it's consciousness, isn't it? You can create whatever reality you feel
exactly,
is possible.
Exactly, exactly. So when people, I mean, I enjoy the apocalypse movies and stories as much as the next. And it gives me a great deal of pleasure to see some of these, like, spy things. There's a thing on Showtime that's really pretty, the storyline is so real, it's pretty awful. Homeland. And it really says what we're doing, you know, how despicable the governments are and what they're doing. But so despicable are the little groups of people who would like to behead. And, you know, one of the things that always bothers me, and I'm sure it does you too, is the absolute subjugation of women in many of these scenarios, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the point is, as you said, consciousness, it's the unknown becoming known is the awakening. And holding your consciousness above all of this is really, really important.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, you got to climb up there, and the only steps we have to climbing up there is wading through all of this massive
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. There is just overwhelming. And yet, all you have to do is choose to be in your own moment, create your own reality, and hold your consciousness without fear. And I think that's really important because when we talk about these scenarios, that, you know, the art and everything, it's massive fear. And it's a reflector of the massive reality. There's also the other side of it, because wherever there's great darkness, there's great light. And the great light is very rarely shown in art.
Mm-hmm.
And you might say it's because we haven't gotten enough people holding their consciousness in a certain, you know, without the fear. I suppose that's a reality.
And the paying attention, like what are we paying attention to, and what is our mind going to? I mean, again, you can't exclude anything. So you watch whatever you want. I mean, I'm kind of obsessed with watching things about kings and queens in England, and with this show Rain. I'm like totally obsessed with it, and it gets a little fantastic sometimes. But I ask myself a lot, what am I learning from this? And why is this story so enjoyable to me? And I think if you're just asking yourself those questions, anything you're watching can be of benefit to you. But if you're just blindly going along, I mean, Barbara Hand-Cloud talks about that, you know, just the numbing.
The fogging,
right.
Yeah, numbness.
Right.
I always ask the question, how does this relate to the dilemma when I'm watching the more aggressive, apocalyptic? And when I see these wonderful shows that, I guess Rain must be one of them. I haven't seen it. I've heard good things about it. My sister loves it. And look at the way they've turned the vampire story around. You know, the vampire used to be the foreboding, the awesome fear creating as you sleep kind of picture show, and now it's become love stories for the tweens, you know.
Right, for the other, for the different. So
the vampire is actually become the hero, and if you look at it, well, who transcended death better than a vampire?
Wow, interesting. Yeah, I think these things are, you're right, the art is definitely mirroring anything that we are thinking in any kind of a scenario. And also, you know, Star Trek, we're definitely living that and going right towards that. And I believe that a lot of these shows are channeled messages by certain people that tune in with something. I mean, everybody knows that when you're really on a roll as a writer, the story just, it writes itself. It pours
right
out of you.
Yeah,
so does it come from?
I agree with you on that one. I agree with you 100% on that one. So the question becomes, how do we stay focused on being an inspiration towards the progressive evolution of humanity and the transcendence holding integrity? How do we do that? How do we express our compassion without any anger for why we have to have it?
Oh, I just watched this. I listened to an amazing Abraham talking about exactly that. Dropping anger without expressing. And it was, it really spoke to me in the moment too, because I was kind of angry about something that someone did. And my instinct, I was like, oh, just say it. But then I was like, I don't know, something, just not yet. And then I listened to the Abraham, and the guy asked exactly the same thing. And Abraham's answer was, to see anything that makes us angry, it's reflecting something in us. It's something that we are making ourselves angry about. And but to thank the feeling, whether no matter what it is, negative, positive, to thank the feeling for showing us the contrast so that we have a way to transcend it and to turn it into being more with ourselves. Because the great message was, if you're feeling angry, what you're really feeling angry about is whatever has just happened, you have allowed it to cut yourself off from your eternal source. And that's what feels so bad. So what got you over here? And the guy was saying, well, should I express it? Should I not express it? A lot of times I feel better after I tell someone exactly what I think, because I feel like I'm standing up for myself. But Abraham said, well, it depends on where you're focused. If you're talking about the positive and what you really want because this thing has happened, or are you just harping more and more on the negative and pointing out the negative, notice that that's your point of attraction, what you're focused on, and how to not need to say it. You can say it, not say it, but just look at how you're saying it. But also to realize that the only reason you're angry is because you're pinching yourself off from source. You've used this as an excuse to pinch yourself off from source. And just listening to that, I felt so much better. I was like, oh my God, that is totally what I'm doing right now. You know, just I didn't want to say it because it was really going to be harping on the negative. I was just going to point out all the things that were clearly wrong. And I'm right. I mean, it's just ridiculous. This is not a good way to do things. But this person is operating, doesn't see, and is really sort of in their own thing. So just pointing these out, it's just going to be get more and more. Every time it happens, I want to point it out more. See, this is what I'm talking about. And I realize that's what's really getting me angry. I'm just focused on the wrong thing for myself. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. Obviously, you've already worked that out.
Reoccurring.
Pardon me. Well, yeah. Everything reoccurs with us because we're learning to change the way we've reacted or responded most of our lives. So it takes time. Then all of a sudden you realize you've switched, you know, your thoughts, and voila, it's done. Tomorrow night, just as Monday creeps across the border at midnight, is when the beginning of this square begins. And a week afterwards, I think it's that Saturn will go into Sagittarius, and it'll stay there till December of 2017, and that will enhance the public's quest for the truth. In other words, this is like, you know, we've been prying the door open astrologically,
yeah,
with all of these influences to get the ball rolling. And this is the last great big old thrust of the crowbar, and the door is flying open.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good, that report. I posted it in the chat room. About, you know, okay, it's not going to be this forever. And we've known this, you know, it's not going to be this strife forever, but like it has for the last couple years.
Well, you know, the thing is, the planet and the whole galaxy is shifting. So we really don't know, because like I said at the beginning of the show, this is 26,000 years completed. We're at the edge of a brand new evolutionary leap. And so we really don't know what's going to happen. I think the whole thing is setting your intentions and changing your consciousness to what you wish to see happen. The transformation of a planet, as far as the human species goes, it's of course the whole planet, but the mass consciousness or planetary consciousness is really the mass consciousness of humanity. And setting your intentions and holding them, I think it's the biggest job you can do.
Yeah. That's reworking the neural nets that are around our planet through the consciousness. And at the end of the day, if you're aligned with yourself and your source, we all want the same thing. We don't want to kill each other, and we want there to be enough for everyone, and we want a clean planet, and we want clean oceans. And you know, it's really not that hard. It's not like we have to agree on goodness and love. I mean, it's just it's obvious if you're tuned in. And the more of us that are tuned in, then that's the way that we're going to go. So I think this whole idea, the grand trine, it's like the last one of the year. We've had quite a few. And like you mentioned, also having the lunar eclipses.
It's actually a square.
A square, right.
Which is the most difficult position that the astrological influences take up to push us into new movement.
So there we go, one day at a time. And the days fly by, at least for me, so quickly now. And so it's only a matter of time. But I think it really is about enjoying the moment every day, not just for you, but for the planet. I mean, that's what shifts paradigms, right? Not in some airy-fairy way of, oh, everything's fine. We know it's not fine. But you can be fine. You can be great.
It's true. It's true. It's just holding your own integrity.
Yeah. I think that's what it's all about.
And I really do think it's true. I've said this for the last couple of years. I think that we are tasked. Every individual who's enlightened is tasked to filter everything through their heart center now, information most especially.
Yeah, yeah. Does it feel good or does it not feel good, and why?
Does it feel honest? Because there's a lot of stuff we're being told is fine.
Right.
That isn't.
Right.
Now, you know, your heart is the only thing, because who's going to tell you what's going on over in Fukushima, you know?
Right.
But the other side of this is that if you look at the yin and yang, and we've got just so much that we're looking at this negative, there is so much positive going on at the same time. And technology is at the forefront of it, too.
Yeah, and that you can't hide now. It comes to light, and
yeah,
it comes to light quickly.
People who go off the grid are particularly, they're kind of awesome. Anybody who's off the grid right now, and there are quite a few people in our community who have done that. No banking, everything is cash or barter. There are communities that are actually not surviving. They're building that way. So there's a lot of positive stuff that is going on. And look at all the great permaculture, all the great permaculture communities that are beginning, you know? Mm-hmm. And all of the great groups within large urban areas that are making permaculture their goal, taking over old parking buildings as new farming areas, you know?
Amazing.
There's lots of good stuff out there, and it should be part of our goal to find out what the good stuff is so we can pass that along.
Yes, absolutely. And what we talk to each other about, you know, focusing on giving the love and the light to the places that have a lot of darkness, which is really everywhere, you know. It can be as simple as just always moving our attention towards this age of Aquarius and out of this patriarchy of not enough for everybody and moving our consciousness forward. We've had a caller. I know we only have 7 minutes left. I don't know if they're just listening in. 804, are you listening, or do you have something to add? Hello? Okay. Sounds like just listening. It's funny, lately people call in and I kind of feel like they're just listening, so I kind of just leave them, but I'm not sure if I'm just assuming that because...
No, I know.
Yeah.
Usually I ask in the chat, you know. Huh.
Very good.
Would you like to, you know, be a part of the conversation?
Right. Well, in the link that I posted at the top of the chat room, at the end she goes into explaining the different dimensions. And I'll just say the first dimension, the iron core crystal in the center of Earth, is the home of wisdom. Literally anybody can tune into it for any information, which is especially necessary when we move out of one great age and begin the next one. I tend to be immersed in its awesome mind to observe old patterns pass away, and new ones pop into 3D. I'm constantly surprised, so I trust everything is meant to be just as it is. That's a good place to start. Really good place to start. And then the eighth dimension, which the number eight has been coming up a lot for me in sort of synchronicities, messages that are coming from sort of the council, the global consciousness, the eternal, which obviously eight is a symbol of eternity, the eighth dimension is firmly in control and divinely guiding 3D, no matter what the world's religions claim humans must do or be. So if you use the divine's eyes, guided by your own inner eye, you can see the divine in the world. Every day, a great wave of beauty washes in with the tides and transmutes to light when the sun sets to reveal the stars.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And there's all nine there that people can read. It's handcloud2012.com if you're listening in the archive. So great discussion. I think these things really help us to sort of put these planetary configurations into perspective, and what does it mean for our life. Chiron, the wounded healer, showing up in all different places, and I think that's what a lot of us are, is the healer that has undergone the darkness and now are finding the light. So look to the stars, people.
Well, and I think a really wonderful way to top the show off is to remind folks to use creative visualization techniques and bring the light down creatively with your visualizations and surround yourself with light. That's really important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Every day, all day, as much as possible. And if you lose it, well, that's okay too. The best way to get it back is just go, all right, I'm not there right now. And then boom, before you know it, you're back in it. So
This is true. Remember to source your white light. Use the sun or the center of the galaxy, but source it.
Nice.
Draw it down. You can even use the moon.
Yes. Whatever calls you. So check us out at spirittherapynyc.com. We have spirit therapy sessions with me, 50% off of spirit therapy and also intuitive drawings. And you can also find Daughters of Isis on our page, or you can go to daughtersofisis.com.
Where we have the front page. I'm posting more and more every day through December, all the way through the new year. I'm running specials for the holiday. Our 4-ounce misters, some of them I've posted at $19.95.
Wow.
And I'm putting up specials all through just the first of the year. Okay.
Wonderful. Wonderful. All right. Yeah, thanks, Gwen. And we have the Sunday show tomorrow, political talk.
Yeah, at 6 p.m. Yes, ma'am.
Great. And then on Monday, we have Spirit Therapy Radio with me at 7 p.m. So thank you, everyone, for listening. And we will see you next week on the Consciousness Shift. I was thinking maybe next week we could talk about all the good things that have happened and transpired in 2014, since it may be... Yes, it will definitely be the last one of the year.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. So tune in with us at any one of our shows at Here Be Monsters. And thank you very much. Much love to everybody.
Great show.